Good morning.
We're going to try that again. Good morning. Yay, there we go. It's good to see you this morning. We are so glad you're here. You are going to be blessed to be here today. I'm excited about what's coming. As we continue in our series, Stranger God, Experiencing Jesus in Disguise. And if you have your Bible, open up to 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to start in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. If you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 12, you know this chapter, this long chapter, is all a description of the church as a body. And Paul is actually tapping into a metaphor that was fairly commonly used in the ancient world, especially by people of prominence and people in power, to describe the way of society, the way the state functions. And the way these people in prominence and power would use this metaphor was as a reason, an explanation for why there was disparity in importance and power. And so they would say, for the state, for society, we are like the human body. And this by design of the gods. And the human body shows us that there are clearly some parts that are more important, more significant. The head, for example, or the heart. And they would say it's the same with people. By design of nature, by design of the gods, there are some people that are clearly more important, more significant. The people who are in power, for example. The highborn, those of high prominence. And like the human body, there are clearly people, they would argue, that are less significant, that are less important. And in this list, we would start to see all the people that have been showing up in this series. People, Jesus says in Matthew 25, are usually identified as the least, the hungry, and the thirsty, and the naked, and the prisoner, and the stranger. And the kind of people that we heard Jesus say last week in Luke 14 are usually excluded from the banquets. The poor, and those with all manner of disabilities, the lame, the blind. And Paul, as he does so often, takes an image that was used a lot of times in the society, and he turns it on its head. And he says, that may be the way of the world, but that is not the way of the kingdom. That is not the way of God. That is not the way God designed things to be, where there is separation and superiority. Instead, among the body and among people of Jesus, God makes the parts of the body that are often seen and treated as weaker, and He makes them indispensable. God makes it where parts of the body that seem less honorable actually receive special honor. In other words, the design for what creation was supposed to be is the design that people of Jesus are supposed to be working for among us and in the world, and that is, we are people who go the extra mile in a world of disparity to give equal opportunity and welcome and inclusion and embrace and compassion. And to that end, I couldn't think of a better person to come and talk to us this morning than Peggy McCall. And I'm going to bring her up in a few minutes after we show a video. But Peggy, I've been telling you about the last few weeks, is the founder of Miracle League Arkansas. And if you're not familiar with Miracle League, it is a baseball league for kids with disabilities. And she's worked for years to help found that here in Little Rock, and there's one in Northwest Arkansas. And it is this wonderful environment, this wonderful organization where kids with all kinds of disabilities have found the opportunity to come and be included and be welcomed and to be a kid, to get out and play. And you're going to be moved by that. Now, many of you know, most of you know, that I am not an unbiased person in this matter, because our son has started playing Miracle League in the spring. And Paige is the one that finds all of these wonderful opportunities and discovered Miracle League last year and finds so many great things for him. And you're going to recognize some faces of people you know up there who've come and been supportive and celebrated with Max. Go back to this one. You can see Don Boyd there. Go back to the middle one. Maybe. There we go. Max's favorite way to bat is often on someone else's back, and he's on his sister's back right there. Don Boyd's crossing home plate. Go to the next one. You see a lot of great people, including Jack Yates right down there. Jack, there you are. He came and was up there with Max while he was up to bat. It is a wonderful league. I want you to watch a little video about it, and then we're going to talk for just a few minutes after that. So let's watch.
I went to a kickball game one Sunday afternoon, and while watching it, I ran into a mom, and our kids used to play ball together. And in talking to her, we went down memory lane. And when I drove out of there that day, I was like, parents of kids with disabilities should have the same memories I did.
Those of us out here that do the Miracle League, we do it because we love it. These kids, a lot of times in the schools and stuff, in picking sides for ball or something like that, a lot of times, I hate to say it, but they get pushed to the side and say, you can't do this. Out here, we put them out there on the field. You say, yes, we can. Yes, you can do it, and we're going to help you. We're going to do whatever it takes. And a lot of times when the kids first come on the field, they're scared. You get up there, and with me pitching, I get to see the fear in their eyes until they hit that ball the first time, and they turn around and wave at the crowd and go, oh, I can do this.
The dirty little secret around here is we get way more from the kids than we give them. And people say to me, boy, it's great what you do down at Miracle League. It's like, I don't do hardly anything for those kids. They do everything for us. And that's why you stay. When you show up, you don't ever leave. It's like Hotel California.
Well, I guess you have to look at it through the eyes of a parent with a child with disabilities, whether it be mental or physical. Our lives are centered around doctors and hospitals and shots and biopsies and waiting for tests for months at a time to try to figure out where we are and what their life holds for them. But here, it's different. This is where she can be a kid. She can come and she can hit the ball and she can run and she can be among other children and every contraption you can imagine.
Well, you know, kids love to play sports because it's competition, it's athleticism, and there's a lot of value to sports. Disabled kids don't always have that opportunity. A lot of them just go and watch their sibling play and they just sit and watch. Alex does like to watch, you know, a lot of times. But then when you give that child a chance to get out and do, and then people are cheering them on, it's golden. And we've had so many buddies come up to us afterwards and thank us for her time.
I think that one of our biggest challenges is getting the word out. I mean, we could play more ball games. Everybody knows somebody who has a child that's disabled. You may be the person, your child may go to school with somebody and they're friends with somebody who's disabled. There are so many kids, thousands of kids that could be out here playing, and we have like 500 folks out here. We need more kids.
A smile, if you're sitting on that bleacher and you see a child go around and they get to that magic home plate, and they step on that plate, and the smile is, it's priceless.
Yay! Good job. Good job, buddy. Good job. Go, 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 go. Good job. Good job. Keep going. Good job. Good job.
Thank you for supporting the Miracle League of Arkansas. Please continue to contribute generously and allow these and so many other children to continue to fulfill their dreams.
All right, Peggy, would you come on up, join me? The Reynolds are big fans of Peggy. And it is an honor to have you here.
My pleasure.
And if you ever get a chance, how many of you have volunteered or you've seen the games, a few of the games at Miracle League? I know a few have. I'm seeing some hands. So it's down by the Junior Deputy League. And tell us a little bit about how this got started and your passion behind this project, because it went from nothing to something. How long has it been around?
We started on it about 15 years ago. We've been playing ball for 12 years in Little Rock.
Okay.
And so I came up with the idea, as the video showed, after a kickball game, and I went to the mayor, Daly at the time, and asked for some land, and he told me he'd heard someone in town talking about this, and I was like, I'm going to do this. So who was that? He goes, I don't remember. Later, I found that Club 99, the Rotary Club 99 downtown, wanted to do a centennial gift for the city. And so I was like, I'm doing this, so let's team up. So that's what happened. They raised the funds within their club to fund the field, and then they handed it over to me once they funded it and got it built. And that's where it got started.
Yeah.
So every few years, I get bored. And so I used to be a church youth director for 18 years, junior and senior high. So I just, kids are my thing. And so I caught up with two kids that used to be in my youth group in Springdale and told them we needed to do this up there. So we have a field, we have two fields there. We have since helped Hot Springs, Monticello, and Jonesboro all have fields. And those are under the Parks Department. So our goal as the Miracle League of Arkansas is to get fields in places in the state that an hour drive. Because I used to have a child that would drive 3.5 hours one way for an hour game. So we got to get him closer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So describe the field for those. You could probably see a little bit in the video, in the pictures, but describe just the field and what that looks like, because it's really, it's a wonderful facility, and it's a very inclusive environment for kids with all manner of disabilities. So give a description for those who aren't familiar.
So our field surface is made of recycled tires, and it's like a brick that's been crushed and molded. And so there are zero, it's called barrier free. So we don't have bags, we don't have grass, we don't have dirt, because all those things can be trip hazards. And so everything rolls. Some of the cool things that we have at the ballpark, we have children who are blind, totally blind. And we have a ball that beeps so they see the ball with their ears. So you guys that are jocks out there, imagine stepping up to the plate. And if you show up at the ballpark, in between games, you might get a chance. Step up to the plate, close your eyes, and try to hit the ball. It's tough. And our it's real tough. And we hope that they hit off the tee right now, and then once they hit it, the ball goes to the base, so they track that ball, they track the sound to know where to go. And then the next person gets up to bat, they go to second base, and every player bats, everybody gets on base, and the last player on the team scores the home run to bring everyone in. So that's kind of how we play our game.
Yeah. So if you ever get a chance to go, and their games are Friday night and Saturday morning.
Right. Friday nights are older kids that have advanced and needed some more challenge. So we have double A, they start using a glove. They start learning what to do with the ball when they get it. And then triple A is they win and lose and strike out. And it's a hoot. It's a hoot. Never thought we would get to that skill level. Some kids could move up from single A on Saturday, but they enjoy the buddy system.
Yeah.
And so they won't move up.
Well, it's a blast to see. It is all kinds of fun to be a part of. One of my favorite players, and I don't remember her name, although if I give a description, you may remember. When she goes up to bat, she goes through the whole thing of she's banging on the home plate and
Sarah, she's
calling her shot, and it's all over the field. And when she crosses the home plate, she comes to the crowd, the stands, and she's getting them into it. Does a dance, and it is the best dance you've ever seen.
Right.
It is just such joy. That pours out. So there's a lot of kids at every moment. You're like, boy, this is so fun. This is so meaningful. That's my experience. You've been doing this for a long time. Tell us about some of the stories that stand out to you.
Okay, you got to cut me off when I talk to
you. Okay. Well, I'll watch the time. You tell the stories.
So there are thousands of stories out there. But in the video, you just saw the little guy that was running. He was in his chair. He's in a wheelchair. And he was like third game. And he was like, Miss Peggy, can I get on my chair and go across home? Well, sure. Why not? You know, I don't know. He's in a wheelchair. He's got it figured out. So he slides out of his chair, and he was the one running down third baseline on his hands, you know? And you're just like going, holy cow. I mean, we cry all the time out of there because we're so proud. And see, I do it now. There's just so much joy. Then there's Anthony. Have you played the Dodgers yet?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I think I remember Anthony.
So, tall, thin kid, and he's in wheelchair, and his therapist, he's gotten to the age that the therapists don't get him out of the chair much, and his mom's like, would you guys get him out of his chair? And we're like, sure, you know, we don't know any better. So he holds on to his coach's hand. I got a hold of the back of his shirt. He walks real stiff, and he looks like he's falling over any minute. And so he gets to first base, and he sits down. So next time up to bat, he does the same thing. He gets to second base and sits down in his chair. Third inning, he goes all the way home. And I'm like, holy cow, he's doing this. So next week, game rolled around. I said, Anthony, are you ready? He goes, yep. Or nodded, nonverbal. So he holds the coach's pinky. Same scenario. Every inning, another base. Third week, I said, dude, I think you got this. You ready? And his mom looks at me like, I said, does he? She goes, we'll see. He did it all on his own, all the way around, with no one holding on. But so when the buddies show up now, I'm like, he looks like he's going to fall over. He hasn't done it yet. So just stay out of his way. But he gets up now and takes out the trash. He helps load the dishwasher. He's doing this all on his own at home without being prompted. So clearly he understands what's going on, and he's just been given a chance to pitch in and do his thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's thousands and thousands of stories.
Yeah.
You know, a child who was just like everyone else, and someone came in and shot and killed his father, his father, his sister, and hit him. And he is now forever in a wheelchair. He is now blind, and you will never meet, I don't believe in your whole life, a sweeter, kinder spirit And he's not angry or mad, or he's so pleasant, but forever in a wheelchair. His name's Angel. Mm. Appropriate. He is. So.
Well, one of the things I love about Miracle League is you've got kids coming in with all manner of disabilities, physical disabilities and mental disabilities. And our son starts every week like he's never done it before, and so he's terrified and doesn't want to go inside the fence. And then by the end of the day, every day he's gained his confidence and he's doing great, and then he starts back over again the next time. It's like, oh, this is like brand new. And it's such a place of acceptance and recognition. Just talk about that. What kind of community is gathered there for these kids and these families?
I don't know how I find them. I really don't. We have people, coaches, the guy that spoke and said, right after me, Tony, the pitcher, he's been there since game one. He only misses a couple games a season. He's there every spring, every fall. I've got coaches, probably 80% of my coaches have been there since the beginning. You know, I don't know how, you know, people find us. And if you don't get us, I have a group of kids that come out and they stay for a season with me. And there's usually five or six. And they don't want to be there, but that's okay. And they get 1 week to fall in. Well, they get two. Usually the first week they're like, I don't want to be here. I'm up early on a Saturday. But our buddy system has the biggest impact, I think, on our community. Mm-hmm. People come up there, they don't know what they're getting into. We tell you just a little bit. Your job, you don't have to know about the diagnosis. We don't care about a diagnosis. You just need to have one to play. I've had several people register their child to play in the Miracle League without a diagnosis because they've heard about the program. And so I'll call them up and I said, you know, they don't fill that out. And I was like, what's your child's diagnosis? They go, well, they don't have one. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, but you can't play in our league because it wouldn't work, you know. So, but the buddy system, when I started it, I thought, I knew the kids would win. But I was doing it for parents to have memories. I think our biggest contribution to the community is the buddy system, because if you come out and you buddy a kid, we ask you to do like the morning or the afternoon. So if you have a really challenging child, I don't want that to be your only memory of the Miracle League. We'll team you up with someone easier the next time. And the players pick their buddy because they may not like, I've got one player that doesn't like long eyelashes, you know? And so I'm not giving them this. We learned that. But you never know. You just don't know. And so it's whatever our players want and need. It's their game. It's their time. It's the parents' time to just not handle their child and take a break. And a time for the player to have a break from the parents. And our parents are so appreciative and grateful. And I don't know, it's a magical place. There are moments, and I call it the MLM, Miracle League Magic. There are some times that something happens, and it might be the tiniest milestone. Like when Max, you know, finally, when last season, oh, it took him days, mm-hmm. you know, to get out onto the field and get close to the dugout. But for Max, that place is really stimulating. I mean, there's cheering and there's music, walk-up songs now. But for kids like Max, that helps them to start adjusting or conforming mm-hmm. to reality in the rest mm-hmm. of the world. Mm-hmm. And we have lots of kids like Max, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so he came along quick. Some kids take 3 seasons to get to where Max is now. So he's a quick learner.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we don't care how long it takes.
Yeah.
We don't care. It's on their terms.
Well, it's an environment of grace and love and welcome. And so I appreciate that. You'll see kids who are technically supposed to be in the field playing defense, and they'll be over on the side playing ball, or they'll be over in the playground, which is set up for kids with various disabilities. And so there's just a recognition that kids are going to be coming at it from different places and different angles, and 1 week they may be ready to do it, and then the next week they're not. And it's such a great image of the kind of people we want to be day in and day out. And not just to those with disabilities, but to one another, that there is a graciousness and a love and a compassion that is extended in that place, that I think, boy, if we could capture what happens here in the rest of our week, this would be a better place. Which is part of why I think this image of what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12 of, you know, the parts of the body and society that we tend to think of as weaker are actually indispensable for us, that they serve to teach us, as well as we have things to offer them, but they have things to offer us. Well, so I want to conclude on that, and you alluded to the buddy system. So the buddy system is the volunteer program. If you're fairly new to our church, you may not know that 3 to 4 times a year we offer what's called night owls, which is a night of respite for kids with special needs and their family. And we got another one coming in November, is that right, Charlotte? So if you haven't done that before, it is wonderful. And people who experience that will say, boy, I know I was blessed far more than the kids that we served in that. But I also know that we have individuals in our church and life groups that are looking for opportunities to serve outside of the walls of the church on a regular basis. And I happen to think that, and again, I know I'm not unbiased on this, but I happen to think you could not find a better way to spend a Saturday morning than serving as a buddy at Miracle League. So if they were interested in doing that, tell them what they would do.
You just need to go to the website and go to MiracleLeagueAR.com, and we are full for this season. We will fill up in 3 days. So follow our Facebook page, Miracle League of Arkansas, and when I post that it's time to sign up as a buddy, you better grab your calendar and pick your time. It's amazing. Like the Harding baseball team comes down, Euler baseball team, the kids love it when the baseball teams come down and they're all in their uniforms and stuff. But it's, and those guys are terrific with our players. But that's how you do it. And but follow us on Facebook or go to our website. I'll post up the schedule for spring, usually in February. We'll play March and April.
Well, the Reynolds appreciate what you do.
I'm glad you guys are there.
And this church appreciates what you do, and not only the great work, but I think the great example that Miracle League serves for all of us. And so let's show Peggy our appreciation this morning, would you? Thank you. We want to end this morning in song, and just a reminder of the God of our Savior who is everything to us in the midst of our strengths, in the midst of our weaknesses. We celebrate the one who is all in all, the one who is all to us.